Well, I want to just continue here. Do I have a few more minutes here tonight? Is that okay? This morning, I begin to speak to you about resurrection life. And for the benefit of those that were not here this morning, I want to recap the scripture that I read because it's the foundation for what I'm talking about. From the book of Matthew 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Troy, come here, please. Stand right over there. He's a keeper of the tomb. Just shake and become as a dead man. That's what happened. Thank you, Troy. He plays a very good dead man. Now, you got to understand here, this was in the timing of the plan and the purpose of God. No one was praying about this. And there's certain things we pray about, and then there's certain things that are going to happen no matter what you do. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, God speaks it out prophetically through the prophets that there was coming one that would be born of a virgin. And then Jesus came. Now, the devil tried to stop it. We know the story, how he had all the little boys from the age of 2 years and down slaughtered. But he couldn't stop it. The same way with the cross. When the Bible actually says, had the prince of the world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil didn't know what he was doing. He took into himself death. That's what happened. And he destroyed himself. The Bible even says there's a fire from the inside of him consuming him. He's not getting any younger, he's getting older. And his lease on the earth is coming to an end. That's why he's doing what he can and he's fighting with whatever he can because Jesus is getting ready to come back. Can you say amen? Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, a church without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. And he's coming very soon. The tables are being set right now for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's going to be a grand reunion. As that old song said, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I want to meet you there in the home beyond the sky. So singing you here, never heard by mortal ear, 'twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting in the air. Hallelujah. Caught up. A lot of people don't believe in that today, but I believe in the catching away of the church. What amuses me is that many of our people, our friends in the Baptist faith and those in the evangelical realm that don't believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit are going to have a rude awakening. Those that are born again by the Spirit of God but have never encountered the Holy Ghost, suddenly when the catching of the way of the church takes, just like the stone was rolled away, just like the stone, the glory of God come right upon them, and this is what's going to happen. They're going to go, sharabo sandeleba, and they'll be lifted up. By the time they hit the sky, they're all Pentecostal. Glory to God. My God, you're going to see it happen. We will know what's happening because we know how to respond to the Holy Ghost. And we felt the glory of God. Adonica earlier, and when the Yubrabonderi Isaiah, you know what I'm talking about. But they never felt it before. So we'll be going up. Their face is going to be like this. You talk about a ride. Catching away the church, where this corruptible will put on incorruptible, where this mortality will put on immortality, where we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. So the stone was rolled away. The keepers of the tomb became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, fear not. I know you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. This was not an evil fear. This was a holy fear. This was a reverential fear. A holy awe. This is what has to come in our nation again. This has to come in the pulpits of the land again. The fear of God has gone out the door. People are law unto themselves. But when the fear of God comes in the church, it will govern the church. The unseen hand of God will govern the church. Men that fear God will fear no men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you'll carry the fear of God on you. And when you walk into places, people will tremble and quake and become as dead men. And stones will be rolled away. Hospitals will be emptied. Mental institutions will be emptied. Hallelujah. And now pouring of the glory of God and the manifestation of what we've been crying out for. It's just an awakening of the church suddenly realizing it's not coming. It's here now. It's about yielding to it. You've got to yield. But in order to yield, you have to put yourself in the position. You can't just say it's coming. You've got to go into where the fight is. You've got to go run to the battle. You've got to go get out there where it's even proven or they ship your body back in a bag. Hallelujah. We could stay inside the four walls of the church for the next 40 years and never do anything. America has more churches than it knows what to do with, and yet cities abound and drugs and every kind of wicked thing that's taking place. In the city of Tampa, where we have our church now this year, will be 18 years in December. The crime rate is down in Hillsborough County, 64%. This is the Tampa Police Department and the FBI statistics, not from us. This is what they've published, and they say we don't even understand why, because we're not doing anything that would drop the crime rate. There are more children and young people being saved in the schools of our county than in any other county in the whole of America. And this is the statistic coming from the student Christian movement. It's happening. It's happening. It's taking place. The beginnings of it are here. We've been invited by mayors of towns to come and hold crusades. Right in Florida, the mayor of Ocala invited us to come and have a crusade. He said, my town is overrun by drugs. We went into the worst drug-infested area, put up a tent, 5,000 people saved in 2 weeks. There's children in Ocala selling drugs as young as 9 years of age on the streets. We were then invited by the mayor of Brooksville. We went, that's not far from where I live. We went in there for 2 weeks. 4,600 people give their life to Christ. Then we were invited up one of the highways in Florida, little towns. The head of police was preaching. Coming to, I mean, yeah, the chief of police was preaching. I mean, some of the craziest things. And the churches didn't want to do anything, but the government is calling, come, come help. We heard what's happening in Tampa. We need this where we are. People in the government are desperate. If the church is not desperate, the people in the government are desperate. I'm telling you, some of you are looking like I'm making this stuff up. I'm not. I'm telling you, they're dealing with the problems in real life. They're not living in a little crystal cathedral with a choir singing, nearer my God to thee. They're dealing with problems in their cities. They don't know what to do. But the righteous coming in, and they're coming in full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, setting the captives free. We went to Thomasville, Georgia. Thousands upon thousands of people were saved. 2 weeks that meeting went, and then we were invited to Moultrie, Georgia, a little town of 13,000. I'm in our church on Sunday morning. We did a huge outreach. We have a big dome and a tent. We had 4,000 people that Sunday morning in Tampa. It looked like a foreign crusade. Listen, I get a call from Moultrie. They said, Pastor, 1,900 people showed up tonight. The tent's running there. They've got two baptismal fonts. The people are coming down to the altar, and they're going straight down the altar, and then they split in two, straight into the water baptismal tank. Monday night, 2,200 people show up in a little town, Moultrie, Georgia. This is happening, folks. This is taking place. This is happening right now, even as we speak. God is moving. And it is not that I have to go do it. All of our Bible students, we have over 300 students. All the students are doing it. The kids are preaching. They're laying hands on the sick. They're casting out devils on the street. People are falling under the power at the bus stations. Miracles are taking place on the streets. Greater than what's happening in many churches, even that you see on television in the miracle crusades. I mean, real great miracles are taking place. It's almost embarrassing when you talk to some preachers. We say, our kids do that. And they're not even on television. They do that. There's some people that have led 30,000 people to the Lord just sitting in the pew. There they are. But they're soul winners. They know how to cast out devils. Now, it's that resurrection life that rolls away the stone, you see. That's what God's called every single one of you to do. If you're born again, the power of God's not supposed to just sit. And then you come into the service and you feel it. And then what are you going to do? The power of God's got to be manifest and demonstrated outside of the four walls. Anybody can get anointed here. You can bring an Aflac duck in here and it'll get anointed. You bring an Aflac duck, the thing will run around you under the anointing. It's when you go out of the four walls that the anointing has to operate in your home, in your business, in your marriage, in your school, in your university, in your place of work, that there needs to be a demonstration of the power of God, the power of the resurrection. That's the only thing that's going to stop humanism. It's the only thing that's going to stop the atheistic movement. It's the only thing that's going to stop the rising tide of Islam, where there are more mosques being built in America today than there are Assemblies of God churches being built. When major Pentecostal denominations are shutting down, they have no room for evangelists anymore. They shut down the evangelism program. They're ordaining people to the gospel ministry that don't even speak in other tongues. My God, how can you call yourself Pentecostal and you haven't had the baptism in the Holy Ghost in fire? They're shutting down their Bible schools. But I'll tell you, God's going to come from the other side. The Lord's going to bypass the structure of the religious and he's going to go right out there into the highways and the byways, and God's going to shake. And when these religious structures look, they're going to say, how did that happen there? It happened without us. He's going to roll away the stone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 27. Go back to the chapter before in verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now think about this. That veil, how many know the story of the veil? It was seamless. From top to bottom and side to side, there was no break in it. You couldn't tear it. I love to tell all the non-Pentecostals, I say to the preachers, so the priest, when he come to the veil, how did he get through? How did he get through? They lifted it. You can't lift it. When you went around the side, you can't go around the side. There was no break in it. So it's obvious that the priest would come in faith and then be taken through the veil by the Spirit of God. The priest, the high priest, would come and be taken through the veil. Think about that. Put that in your theological pipe and smoke that for a bit. So Jesus cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The veil of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. The Holy Ghost comes out of that tabernacle made with the hands of man, never again to live therein. So that's why if you hear people talk about they go to Israel and they go where the Temple Mount is and they feel the anointing, they're talking garbage. They're talking rubbish. There is no anointing at the Temple Mount. I've been there. I had them take me under the wall to where they said you can get close to where the Holy of Holies was. I felt nothing. It was just being underground. Because that's idolatry, that the Spirit of God would still be there. The Spirit of God is not there. He came out of there to come and live in our heart. There's more idol worship going on in the modern day Pentecostal charismatic work church than in the Catholic denomination. And that's another story. Don't get me started in that. But seeing you brought up the subject of the Catholic Church, let me just tell you. Now, let me tell you why the Pope is reaching out to everybody. Because the Catholic Church is very afraid. Because the Pentecostal movement is sweeping Central and South America, and it's taking them over. It's shutting them down, and they don't know what to do. So they're reaching out to try to assimilate the Pentecostal churches. One major Pentecostal pastor in Sweden just converted to Catholicism. I got news for you. I'm not a Catholic, never will be a Catholic. I don't pray to Mary. Mary was a nice lady. She obeyed God, but I pray to Jesus. I talk to the Father in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? And I have no association with Rome or the Pope, whatever his name is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a bunch of rubbish going on. People trying to be accepted. So when I got to Israel, I said, take me now. I said, they went in the Holy Holies. I went because I saw the preacher on television. And he felt the anointing was right there and he was praying. I thought, that's garbage. There's no Holy of Holies there. What, the anointing's still residual in the ground? The anointing comes in the hearts of people. It's the same with these people say, we're going to go redig the well of revival. What, there's actually a well there? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. We're not redigging no well. We're not talking about a physical well of water. The well is in you. The well is in people. Why do you worship towns and cities as though there's some holy place when the holy place is supposed to come in the hearts of men? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It makes a mockery of the cross. It makes a mockery of the blood. It makes a mockery of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes a mockery of the Holy Spirit. He's alive. He's not dead. And he doesn't live under Temple Mount in Jerusalem, I can promise you right now. You pray at that wall, or that wall, and you feel the power of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I pray I've irritated a few people here tonight. And if I haven't, get ready, because I'm about to get on you next. But it's rubbish. What utter garbage. You know why they chose a Spanish Pope? For that very reason. Yes, we're South American, but they chose it for a reason. To stop the bleeding. It's not for what you think. It's not for unity, and because they love everything. It's to stop the bleeding that's taking place in the Catholic Church. It's being ripped to shreds by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And they've been total wickedness. Everywhere you go, you see where they've gone. They assimilated whatever's going on. Ancestral worship. They take whatever's going on with the people. They add it all and just put Catholic there. It's full of devils. Habitation of devils. And when you get the Pope, got a Muslim guy praying there. Let me tell you, it's all setting up for the apostate church. And you know what? There'll be many Pentecostals in America that will go right down the way and be set up for the Antichrist and the one church. Let me tell you right now. You better know the Word of God and not be duped and be stupid and be sucked off by the enemy into deception. Amen. So the veil of the temple was torn in two. The Holy Spirit came out. That was that resurrection power, because verse 52 says, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came up out of the graves after the resurrection, and they went to the holy city and appeared unto many. So you got all these Old Testament saints walking around. Somebody said, I was just down at the mall. I bumped into Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were down at the getting yogurt. Somebody said, you're crazy. They've been dead. I saw them. I bumped into them. They were showing themselves in Jerusalem. When Jesus was raised from the dead, there was no one in the city of Jerusalem that had any doubt that he was risen from the dead. Because he stayed for 40 days and showed himself alive with many infallible proofs, including coming into locked rooms, coming through the wall. This resurrection life is your life and my life. This is what we're supposed to be living in. But many in the church operate in it momentarily, on odd occasions, in the services, when they have what they call a high time in the Holy Ghost. But that's it. It stays on the inside of the church, in the side of their prayer closet. But in this day, in this hour, men and women full of the Holy Ghost will go on the streets and out in the highways and byways, and the river of God will flow through the nation. You see, it's not just about getting in a pulpit to release the anointing. I've learned now over what the Lord's done with us and the journey God's taken us, even the last 5 years, that I don't ever have to preach another message again. And I will still be out carrying the power of God and releasing the power of God. It might never be seen in the church again because it got nothing to do with that. We've just created a platform that's the way that it operates. But the power of God needs to be seen in all of the places. Can you say amen? So in actual fact, I don't have to get into a meeting to release the power of God. In actual fact, just wherever we go, we release the power of God. Just wherever we are. And they don't need to know who we are. Somebody said, well, they need to know who you are so they can accept your ministry. It's got nothing to do with that. It's not about accepting my ministry. It's about the release of the anointing. They might not know who I am, but they're going to feel who he is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you should go where you're celebrated and not tolerated. If I had to go where I was celebrated and not tolerated, I wouldn't go anywhere. I go where I'm sent. And where I'm sent, there's going to be a move of the Spirit of God, whether it's celebrated or tolerated or not. We're either going to have a revival or we're going to have a riot, because we're going to let the power of God come and God's going to move. He's going to show up. Somebody said, how do you know that he'll show up? Because I happen to know him. And the Bible says those that know their God will do exploits in his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the greatest place of the move of God will be in the greatest darkness. Where the darkness is the greatest shall be the greatest manifestation of the move of the Spirit of God. The church is trying to get the light bright in the light. But the light shines bright in the night, in the dark places. In the dark places will be the greatest manifestation in the glory of God and the power of God. Hallelujah. And you won't know who they are. You won't know who they are. They're coming unannounced. They try to find out who you are, but they can't. It doesn't matter, but I'm listening to the words of what they're saying. The words of what they're saying is staying with me long after they have left. Your words play over and over like a CD player. Playing over and over, long after the meeting is gone. The echo of the word is still burning in the hearts of men and women, because the word was spoken under the anointing and by the fire of God. A generation is being raised up full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, not something of mental intellect, not something that they stir up in their mind, but something that burns in their heart, that burns right in their very bones. They don't need an introduction. because they're not there to introduce themselves. They're there to announce Jesus. They're there to proclaim Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Somebody said, who are you? It doesn't matter who I am. It matters who he is. Hallelujah. If you have a problem with me, you can go talk to him about it, because I represent him. I was called by him. He called me. He anointed me. He put his hand upon my life, and he sent me to America as a missionary to boldly preach and to boldly proclaim. On the 1st of July, next week, when we go into the Capitol, will be exactly 35 years to the week. Then the fire of God fell on me in July of 1979. This fire is not just to be contained in the four walls of the church. This fire is about seeing the nations shaken and the harvest of souls that must come into the kingdom before the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. This is resurrection life. This anointing that I'm talking about is the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. If it dwell in you, it will quicken, it will make alive your mortal body. He'll take your mouth, he will anoint your tongue, he will quicken your tongue. Your tongue will become as the pen of a ready writer, and you will speak boldly the word of the Lord in this hour. Not your words, but his words. Not words originating in your mind, but words flowing out of your spirit. Resurrection life. Where the Bible says Peter's shadow passed over the people and they were healed. Just get them out there in the highways and byways. Just let them walk. Just let their shadow get on the people. Your shadow doesn't need to be announced. This is the shadow of who? Let the shadow come and let the glory of God fall. Oh, hallelujah. Resurrection life. When the stone was rolled away, the keepers of the tomb fell as dead men. There are going to be people come under the power of God in this hour. There are going to be people come that will mock the Holy Ghost. They'll fall out. There are people that will come that will come against the move of God. They'll be cut down. I'm telling you, the fire of God will come back in the church, and the fear of God will come back in the church, and people will know that there is a God in heaven. This is not a game. This is not something that we celebrate every Easter and we don't see anything of it. This is something that we are called to live and to walk and to reside and abide in. It's called resurrection life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken, make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. So when he touches you for a reason, so he can go touch through you. When he touches you because he wants to speak through you. What do you think happens when a person gets demon possessed? Demons take control, they yield to the spirit. The devil speaks through them and touches through them and wreaks havoc through them. He's just imitating what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to possess your vessel. To speak through you, to touch through you. And instead of bringing hell, you bring heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what the Lord done with your music. Through your music, through your voice, through the vocal cords. As you sing, it reached out and touched an African boy. Sitting in a little town of Butterworth. Transkei, listening to that music. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. That's why the devil wants to shut your mouth. He wants to shut the anointing down. But he come to the wrong place. I said he's come to the wrong place because we ain't shutting up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not coming to be liked. We're coming to get results. We're not even coming to get invited back. There's 7 billion people on the planet. We're not even looking for a place to preach. We already have a place to preach. We don't need an invitation. We already have a commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you'll cast out devils. Somebody said, Pastor, you're talking to the fivefold ministry. No, I'm talking to the believer. This resurrection life is for the believer, the body of Christ, the blood bought, blood washed, church of the living God. But some of you have been waiting for a place in the church. One day they'll recognize me. Why don't you just go to a lost or dying world and God will recognize you? Somebody said, they don't want me to preach. They don't want, I'm not welcome here. I'm not invited here. I'm not, please. When lost did you look at the world? Go get Google Earth and spend some hours and just flow around the earth and zoom in on remote villages and islands and then buy a ticket and go and don't come back. I mean, the whole planet is wide open. Go on an adventure with God. When you're under the control of the Holy Ghost, in 1 year, you will see more than other people see in a lifetime. When you come under the control of the Spirit of God, in 1 year, you will live a whole lifetime's worth. There will never be another boring day. He wants control of you. Not just to yield momentarily. For a word of prophecy or tongue interpretation. Come on, that's by the by. When I go to some place and say, look, don't even introduce me. Just let me get up. Let me speak. Because I know the moment my voice goes out, it's over, baby. Can you say amen? So let me get up. Don't mess with all that other stuff. Just let me speak. Doesn't matter who. They don't know you. They don't need to know me. They're going to know someone else here in just a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I've tested it out on purpose. We've gone to places no one knows us. We've gone to remote villages on purpose. They've never seen a video, never seen nothing. And we go right in there and the power of God just shakes the whole place. Heads of government in foreign countries sit shaking under the power of God in the front row. People say they don't even know you. It's not about knowing who the preacher is. It's about the release of the power of God, the resurrection life of God that is flowing in the place. I tell our students, I said, some of you think you've got to go out and make a name for yourself. Stop right now. We don't need anybody to make a name for themselves. The name has already been made. And the name's already been given to you. And it's the name of Jesus. Go out and proclaim the name. Go out and speak his name. And watch what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Forgive me if I seem a little wild tonight, but I'm burning with this thing. I'm a week out from it and I can't contain myself. We've been carrying it for months. We've got to see a nation shaken. This is not a game to us. This is a case, give me liberty or give me death. Let me tell you right now, my God, we've got to see a breakthrough in this land. Hallelujah. Because people have asked me, so what are you expecting to happen? I'm expecting the resurrection life of God that is in the nightly meetings to flood this capital through the people. That's what I'm expecting. The people are going to be laying hands on everybody that moves in the taxi cabs and in the train systems and on the streets. That there's going to be an invasion of the Jesus kind. And because they don't know whose name it's attached, they can't stop it. Because they come in all shapes and sizes. From young children to gray-haired grannies. The devil is so dumb the way he operates. He lets a couple of people be raised up. They get on television and people worship them. And then he takes them out. But the whole body is the most dangerous thing on the planet, is the body, the body. There's enough firepower in this room just here tonight, just sitting here tonight on this Sunday night. There's enough firepower. There's enough firepower to shake the whole state of Texas and regions beyond. There's enough firepower in this room right now to shake all nations. God's just looking for a man. He's looking for a woman that will yield himself to the Spirit of God and say, come, live big on the inside of me. Take my mind, take my mouth, come live in me. Use my hands, use my feet. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I will be what you want me to be. Come. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. He is looking for people that he can show himself strong. Don't think you're looking for him. He's looking long time before you even started looking. You didn't even know to look. He was looking for you. He's looking. He's looking. Let me tell you what happened at the press conference, and then I'm going to pray. We went into Washington. We did a big press conference at the National Press Club. The room filled. On the front row was an African-American bishop. I'd never met him before. We played the clip. I got up and began to speak. He started to weep at a press conference. He started to shake at a press conference. And so you know me, when I see that, I'm just going to go with the flow. I said, I see bishops here. Come up and greet the people. Press conference. This is a revival, man. This is a press conference. It's a revival press conference. The bishop got up. And he said, I'm sitting here, and he said, I'm repenting for my prejudice. And he said, I'd given up hope on America, that we were too far gone, that nothing could be done. But he says, like something hit me, and it's like everything's revived again. At the press conference. One of the leading African-American bishops who's now coming, both of them are coming to be a part of the event. He looked at me. He said, I've given up hope. He said, I've done everything I can. I've gone through the government. He said, I've given up hope. I said, Bishop, don't give up hope. I said, everything you've been doing is to pave the way for me coming to help you right now. I said, the troops are coming. We go into the inner city of Baltimore, Cherry Hill, the 27th most dangerous place in America. I was sitting in a room full of African-American Spanish bishops, and this bishop looked at me and said, I'm about to close the door of my church. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, my dad built the church 60 years ago. 20 years ago, we built a new building, and 6 months after we built the building, dad died, and he said, I've been there 20 years, but I'm down to 200 people on a Sunday. He said, I don't have enough money to open the doors. And I stood up and looked at him and said, I'm coming. I'm coming to your church. He said, when? I said, within 2 weeks, I'll be there. We go into the inner city of Cherry Hill. We run 200. Sunday morning, 1,200 people showed up. We did the inreach outreach. 1,200 people showed up. 700 people get saved that Sunday morning. The same thing. We filled it every night. Hundreds are getting saved in the middle of ice and snow and rain and whatever. And the power of God's falling. And Wednesday night, I took him out for supper, and we're sitting at this restaurant. And he said to me, I don't know what I'm going to do about the finances. He said, there's no finances, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I looked at him and said, Bishop, God will give you a miracle. We walk into the night service. The bishop is standing there. They're hearing the testimonies of people being saved. A man walks out of the crowd, walks up and hands the bishop a check for $100,000. The bishop falls out in the power of God. Let me tell you. You talk about a move of God. When you bring resurrection life, it turns everything around. Everything is coming around. When Jesus walks in the door, everything's going to change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I promise you, the end of this meeting, with knowing we have 100 people on the ground there, they've been working night and day. Every Sunday, they've been in up to 60 churches. I mean, we're doing everything we know to do. Television advertising, radio advertising, tickets, billboards, flyers, radio. It's all been done. Got a big radio interview tomorrow. Got several teletown halls this week in the afternoon. Last week, we had over 1,200 local pastors on a telephone call. This is happening. At the end of the day, we'll be able to look back and say we did everything we knew to do in the natural. It's not up to us anymore. Now it's up to God. Because here's what's happened. We've dug a ditch and it's up to God to come fill it now. Let me tell you, that's what God's looking for us to do. Dig a ditch and I'll fill it. Hallelujah. And it's not just about America being shaken. It's about Australia being shaken. It's about New Zealand being shaken. It's about Wales being shaken. It's about Scotland and England and Ireland being shaken. It's about France being shaken by the hand of God. Oh, my robrin de levrosari bandan de levrosoko rebeyata. Hallelujah. 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 It's not about building a big ministry. That's the old way. This thing's too big. God has to run what we're about to do. We work for Him. We take our orders from Him. But here's the good thing. If you take your orders from Him, and I take my orders from Him, and you take your orders from Him, we'll all flow together. There will be no problem within the church. We'll all flow together because I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. You listen to the Holy Ghost. You listen to the Holy Ghost. We all just flow together. There's no competition. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. There's enough for everybody. There's enough to go around. There's supernatural supply. And we all work together. And the harvest is coming back. I mean, the harvest is coming in and Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Because we all move by this resurrection life. So if they want to build a mosque next to my church, come. Build a mosque right by my church. I'll empty the thing. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you what the Muslim will respond to, the power of God. They'll respond to the power of God. They'll respond to the power of God. When you have a Holy Ghost breakout, the devil will try to contain you. Alarms will go off in hell. There's been a Holy Ghost breakout of an infectious kind. It's spreading from house to house, from street to street, from school to school. We have to contain this. It's contagious. Because everywhere it goes, people think that they can do what Jesus said they could do. People take the Bible literally and start operating in it. And some of the most unqualified people stand and they speak as though they're qualified. Who do they think they are? Oh, we've already been, listen, I met with certain groups right on the hill. They've been working with the government for 40 years. They said, if Jesus came here, he wouldn't mention anything about abortion. I said, oh, really? Wow. You read the same Bible as me. Amazing. You know, Jesus wouldn't say anything about same-sex marriage and all that. Oh, okay. It's amazing now the Bible doesn't say anything about any of these things. It's amazing the Bible's being rewritten before our eyes. And preachers can't even preach the truth anymore. But Jesus is the Word. Amen. He doesn't have to say anything. He's already said it. It's already been said. I better wind this thing down. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Sister with the nice hat over there. Yeah, you come here. Bring her here. Bring her here. My mother used to make hats like that. Bring her here. When we were little boys, we couldn't sit behind in church because you couldn't see through the hats. Are you with her? Come here. What do you do? Huh? And what does she do? Fire! Oh, pariboso. Ah! Better this. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think the scripture says stir up the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands? Why do you think it says stir it up? Fan the flames. The inner fire. Bring Elijah and his wife down here, please. Let's stay in the scripture. Jesus, touch Elijah, oh God, and his wife. Jesus. Come here, dear sister. Come here. Bring her down over here. You and you and you and you. Come here. Help them up. Line them up over here. Line them up right over here. This way, guys. Facing me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Turn around. Fire. Jesus. Take it right now. Fire. Jesus. Oh. You and you and you and you, come here. Fire! Jesus! 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 Touch. Come here. Come here. Quickly run down here. Come, 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 come. Come here. Come. Woo! Sapor dandala brabandele sofra bediesta. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. It's going to affect everything you're doing. Where are you from? Luanda. You mean Uganda or Luanda? Rwanda. That's right, by Burundi. I've been to Burundi. I preach for the president of Burundi. He's born again, you know. Pierre Nkurunziza. I preached for him 5 nights in the big presidential. He led the worship, and I preached. And the power of God fell. People climbed up in the trees. They're the descendants of Zacchaeus. They were in the trees. And people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. God give him a mighty move of the Spirit in Rwanda. Fire! Fire! Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Fire! That's it, Matthias. That's not a word of knowledge. I read your name tag. Fire of God. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly. You see, everything that is needed to shake that region is inside you. That's why I tell pastors they want all the evangelists to come do the job for them. But God never called the evangelists to that city. He called the pastor of that city. That's why the scripture says for the pastor to do the work of an evangelist. How can the evangelist have the vision for the city when you're the one called to the city? I'm not writing off the evangelists. They have their place. Are you listening to me? But you have to do it. You go home and have a whole week revival. You go run a month-long revival. You go to have the miracles. You go do it. Pick up Matthias. Bring me that microphone. Bring him here. What's happening?
I heard the Holy God from me. The Holy God came to me. The Holy God touched me to my heart. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
You feel it right now?
You feel the Holy God love now. The Holy God touched to me, to my heart.
And you know why he's doing that?
Yes, he's so doing that, it. He's doing my.
So that he can touch
he can
through
touch
you.
To my heart.
Because he wants to touch through you.
Yes.
To touch your people.
Amen.
He can't do the work till he does it in you. He first does it in you, then he does it through you. Fire! Fire. Take it. Come here, Troy. Pick him up. Bring him back. Drag him over here. Stand him up. It's like the Lord marinates you. If you lay a piece of chicken in marinade overnight, and you cut into it, it's all the way through. That's what he wants to do to every one of you. Jesus. Look here. I'm watching you. Just getting under the wave of the anointing. Just handling the rags. I'm watching each person we pray for. It's like a wave comes over her. It's life. It's resurrection life. It's not just for the church. It's when you go home. It's for your home, for your marriage, for your business. It's not just for now. You can't live in a meeting. The meeting must live in you. You can't live in the meeting. You and the meeting must become one. There must be a meeting going on on the inside of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hallelujah. So I don't understand the Christians always trying to get somewhere in God because they're already there. They just don't know it. I don't understand. I need to go get in the Word. You need to read the Word, but I need to go pray. You should be. Prayer's in you. What do you mean? You're going to go. I don't understand that. I don't understand why they break and compartmentalize their life into these different things. Because you can be as anointed on your job as you can be in the pulpit. I don't understand people's reasoning. It's like they put a place for God and it's on a Sunday or on a special meeting. That's it. The rest of the time they live their own life devoid of the power of God. And I don't understand that. Because to me, it's all the same. it all flows through into every realm. Into your home, your family. There are many times we get home after the night service, the power of God's falling in the house. I mean, it doesn't stop. The only difference, we don't have a microphone on. But it doesn't stop. The glory of God is there. You lie upon your bed in the night hours. The power of God comes in you. God speaks. You get up, you go to your study, you open your Bible, you read, you study the Word as God leads you. It's just you live in communion with Him. You live in communion with Him, and He's in communion with you. It's this resurrection life, learning to live in this resurrection life. Hallelujah. That's why it's revival now. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Come here, pick him up. Pick Robbie up. Hallelujah. Let me say this to the pastors, and then I'm going to pray for the pastors. Let me say this to pastors. All we do back home is we put the fire of God on people and turn them loose. We don't control anybody, because here's what I teach the people. I say, if you submitted to the Holy Spirit, then I shouldn't have to police you. Though we have 70 people on staff. They all have a job description there. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do, but they're supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost. So if they're led by the Holy Ghost, there won't be a problem. They don't have to come ask me what to do. You already know what to do. You know what your job is, and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And so we don't micromanage anything. The first Sunday this year, the children preached. The little ones from 6 to 12 preached. The second Sunday, the 13 through 18 preached. I mean, each kid had 3 minutes. And I'm talking about the fire of God on these little ones. I had a pastor say, well, I could never turn my kids to go do that. Say that because you leave them in a room with a video and give them orange juice and some crackers. These kids are memorizing whole chapters of the Bible. They're memorizing scripture. The hand of God is on them. You could see at 6 and 7, mighty men and women of God already being forged by the Spirit of God under the anointing. And it's just up to the parents to just guide them. But it's happening. A generation is being grown. They're growing in this anointing. They're growing in this resurrection life. And they are lethal. They're dangerous because they don't know what you're not supposed to do. They haven't been told. We told them anything's open. If it's the gospel, go do it. Go preach. Go cast out devils. Go into any place you can. So the kids preached, I gave the altar call, and then the youth preached, I gave the altar call. Those were the first two Sundays of this year. I think the hardest thing that we find is to try to get the adults to break the religious thing of a service and get them to live in the realm of the Spirit and just live in there 24/7. Let me say one more thing. I just had a young man come from Africa, from Zimbabwe. He's, what's he, 34 now? 34 years old. He's African. He's a prophet that God's raised up. And he was ministering somewhere in Africa, and he saw a book that I'd written the forward for, and he asked the man, do you know Rodney? And he said, yes. He said, because I've got a lot of his videos he's watched, and he wanted to get a hold of me. So the man called me. I said, give him my number. So he called me because I heard how God's using him. And it's probably the greatest operation of the office of the prophet I've ever seen. You hear of Branham and whatever, but there's nothing like that. This is 24/7 the way the gift operates. And I said to him, how did this gift come to you? He said, I was a little boy, and he said, I was going to school. My mother would walk me halfway, and there's a bush of berries, and I would eat the berries. And he said, on one day, she would walk me to the bush. I'd eat berries. She'd leave me, and I'd go on to school. And he said, at the bush, the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, I've raised you up as a prophet to the last days. And he said, from that day, I think he was in grade 2, from that day, I knew things. I just knew things. He said, I walk home, and I told my parents what the voice said, and he said, my dad was a Dutch Reformed preacher, and he beat me. He beat him from grade 2 to grade 7 because he would know things. So the father would set up things to say, okay, you know all these things. So how far is it from here to that wall? He'd say 15 feet. Their measure was exactly 15 feet. And so now, of course, God's raised him up. He has a huge church in Zimbabwe. He has a church in Namibia. He has a church in Botswana. He has a church in Zambia. He has a church in England. He has a television network, covers the whole continent of Africa. He packs out stadiums. And when I heard how the gift operated, I was really concerned for him because I said, if people get a hold of him, they will abuse the gift. And he'll be gone by the time he's 50. So I said to him, look, if you can fly, you and your wife and your 4 kids, come stay in my house. I will take you, we'll get your kids to Disney World, and you can have a holiday, and we'll just spend some time together. I thought, I'll never hear from the guy. 2 weeks later, he calls me and says, I'm coming. So he came, him and his wife. She operates the same way, and so does his 8-year-old kid. And so the way it works with him, he looks at people, and he'll see a name. You'll see it on their forehead. You'll see, and he'll tell you 3 things about yourself that only he knows. But you know it's true. I mean, there's no way, because he never spoke to you, so he tells you 3. He tells you about your house, the street it's on, what the front door looks like, the number on the door, and what your office looks like. And then the 4th thing he tells you is what God wants you to know. So he says, I tell you 3 things about yourself so that you know that the next thing I'm going to tell you is God. So, I mean, I tested him out, you know, because I watched like a hawk. And when he was come to our church, he wasn't preaching at the time, just coming to the service. So our pastors were coming up one by one into the office. And the moment they leave the door, he tells me everything about that pastor. Now that one is this, that, that. And we just had our minister's conference where he just flew in. I told him to come anytime, but he just comes. He shows up. So he pulled a guy out, and the guy had 2 credit cards. He gave him the PIN numbers to both cards. The PIN numbers to both of his credit cards. Now, I mean, it's crazy. The operation of this gift is probably the craziest thing. A lady's 8 months or 7 months pregnant. She didn't tell him. He said 7 months, 14 days, whatever, and tells her what the child is. It's going to be a boy. Well, she'd already known it was going to be a boy. I mean, stuff like that. He puts his head down. He said, this is spiritual gynecology. And he puts his head down. And he says, 7 months, 14 days, how many hours, and it's going to be a boy. And it was. And just reading people's mail, I mean, just like stuff that there is no way in 100 million years anybody could know. And he said, the Lord gives me numbers. He said, if there's a football match playing, I see the end score. He said, I even have numbers when the thing, and he said, Lord, I could use this for the kingdom. The Lord said, if you ever use what I give you, I will take the anointing from you. He said, it's for my, because he said, God, if we could get that number, then we could make all that money. I could build my building cash. And the Lord said, that's not what I give you the gift for. But he told me that the Lord has had to use him in a different way, because he said, in Africa, there's so many charlatans now that want to operate as a prophet. They go on people's Facebook, and then they find all their friends of the church, and they come there, and then they say there's a lady, and they're using the name of the Facebook and everything, and they call people out. So he says God now has to give him nicknames and stuff that nobody would know because of the fake, as the people tried to imitate this gift in Africa for money. If he walks in a restaurant, he'll be sitting there, the waiter comes in. It's just, that's how the gift flows. He said, it's just been like that since I was a boy. He said, I can't switch it off. He said, and the hardest thing's around family, because I know when they're lying. And he said, I know what happened. And he gets kidnapped in Zimbabwe. They blindfold him and kidnap him and take him into a room, the secret police, and make him prophesy. You better be under the anointing if you get kidnapped and blindfolded and taken in a room. And then he reads their mail. The police pulled him over, and they were harassing him and wanted money. So he looked at the guy, told him his name, and said, why are you giving me such a hard time when you know you beat your wife up last night? The guy started shaking, said, look, just get on out of here. So that's how he operates. That's the gift on his life. It's probably the most unusual operation of the word of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit I think I've ever seen. But he's not flaky, and he's down to earth. He's just a down-to-earth person, him and his wife. I watch them, their kids, great kids. Because I always check everything out, not just the man. You look at the wife, the children. You. The man can be a certain way, but the wife be a basket case. You know what I'm saying? So if the wife's a nutcase, something's wrong. You know what I mean?